This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. That was a really good segment for the first show of 2016. I really enjoyed the fact that there's such a close connection with that conversation and this next conversation.
I was about to ask you, is it a flip side of the coin? Is it a mirror? Because there are lots of similar topical points that both of these views are shared upon.
Yeah, you know,
yes or no?
I like your use of the word mirror. Okay. So, I mean, if you can look in the mirror and you can really highlight certain pieces of value in your business to sell it, that means it started somewhere. And where does it start? It starts with the funding and the investing. If you can attract investors, you've got something going for you.
That's why you're the anchor of this damn show, man. Because you're too hot.
Well, I appreciate that. Oh, you mean I'm on hot on air? Or?
I think Utata Moroba is here for a reason.
Okay. But just very quickly, if you do want to get involved in the show, please, 0861-555-189. The lines are open. You can also go to Twitter and tweet at us or just comment there. It's at future_CEOs or at CliffCentral.com. Also on WeChat, Cliff Central, you'll find us there as well. All right, Phoebe, over to you. Please introduce our guest.
Tata David Moroba, the Regional Janitor Manager of our good friends at Business Partners. Welcome to the show, and once again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I'd just like to echo that he is hot, both on and off.
On and off, you heard it.
This is a great guest.
So, Tata Moroba, we're talking about 10 tips to attract investors and secure funding.
Yeah.
You are the expert on this. That's what we believe. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do and why you're here for this particular topic.
Well, I've had the privilege of working with entrepreneurs, and you find them best in the small and medium enterprise space for a couple of years. I've been, quite instrumental in helping a number of entrepreneurs access funds. So from a business partner's perspective, which is where the organization I represent, all we need to do is to make funding available to entrepreneurs. We seek positive ways of looking at entrepreneurs, the opportunities that they are pursuing. We want to build relationships with entrepreneurs because that's the only way that you can entrust funds to somebody to go and either grow and do something with those funds. We look at things like the entrepreneur's key. We look at cash flow viability. We look at access to information and try to get a fair deal out of that interaction with entrepreneurs. So I think these tips would fit in quite well in terms of the topic. And, you know, having gotten the tail end of the previous topic, I think it dovetails very well.
Well, before we get into the conversation, let's just ask a couple of questions. So when I say the conversation, I mean into the tips themselves. But from a certain perspective, maybe the investor perspective, what are some of the things that you've seen that aren't working for entrepreneurs? Certainly some of the young guns that are coming up and thinking, man, I've got a business and it's hot, but it actually is not.
We focus on probably that which is not working, but there's also a lot that is working. I think there are a number of young entrepreneurs that have gotten into the economy and made things happen internationally as well. I think the young guns have been rocking the entrepreneurial world. But oftentimes there is a disconnect between the entrepreneurs on the one hand and the investors terms of what needs to be given for the relationship to take off on a good ground, especially where funds are involved.
Almost a launch pad for the relationship.
Exactly. And that relationship hinges on the risk perception that goes with the SME sector. As I said, most entrepreneurs you find in the small and medium enterprises, and you cannot help but know that most SMEs are perceived with a certain risk.
Absolutely.
Can they make it happen?
Yeah.
Access to information is key also in terms of the risk. You know, do we have the information? Can we trust the skills potential of this person to really make it happen? That's are by and large the biggest disconnect between entrepreneurs and investors. But you can actually widen that risk definition broader than just what I've mentioned. Mm. That would include things like the economy. When the economy is not working, we tend to be a bit more risk averse sure. than when it is working. Sure. You can look at the market, types of businesses. If we have burned our fingers and have had serious credit losses in certain industries, we tend to be more cautious before we enter into that space.
Correct.
And you can look at things like the industry, product, technical ability. But I think by and large, if one would maybe tailor the criteria that most investors would look at, it would be the credit record, mm-hmm. it would be the financial position mm-hmm. of that company, that mm-hmm. would look at like profit history, is the gearing okay for us to take it forward, can it withstand the changes in the market such as perhaps interest rates, if yep. it goes Correct. Up by 1 or 2%, will it sustain, will it be able to continue servicing the facility that we've given through to them. The profile of the entrepreneur is very key. I think mm-hmm. the gentleman that spoke just before me, it spoke about integrity. It's a key part of that profile of that entrepreneur, but also the track record. What have they done before? The profile of the business itself. And then from the risk mitigation perspective, now the investor would see, am I collateralized in this? You know, is my security there to mitigate the risk that I'm perceiving, be it financial or business risk that you perceive in the business?
Okay, Libby, we've just a lot of
that was a lot
has just been
that
said.
That wasn't one tip. I think that was six that the more of it.
So, but I think what that has just highlighted is that it can become quite complex, and so the conversation that we're having here is to try and demystify it, try and make it a little bit more, or rather less complex. So let's do that. Let's get into tip number one, and let's go, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. David, please. Tip number one.
I think perhaps maybe a good point to start is it's I like to refer to these as tips as opposed to rules.
Yes.
Because when you deal with rules,
yes.
you can either deal with them in a right or wrong way.
Yes.
But with mm-hmm. tips, they are sort of guiding principles. They are sort of the intentions. They are sort of the directions by which we set our sails.
Mm. Love it.
So
nice.
If you take them that way, they are never exhaustive. Other people can come with additional tips that they can add on mm-hmm. there. So I think if you take it from that perspective, that makes our conversation much more engaging.
Yes, yes, I agree.
So the first one that we looked at is just connect yourself. Get yourself connected and meet with other people, because the person from whom you could raise funds and could be just one or two people away.
Mm.
We work with accountants. We work with auditors. You work with attorneys. Perhaps even your suppliers could be dealing in one way or the other with an investor of some sort. And that warm body introduction can do so much good for you in making that first introduction to say, okay, speak to so-and-so who are dealing in this space.
Network.
Some of the funders specialize in certain areas. I mean, we as business partners cover a number of sectors, but there are those that would look specifically at IT, those that look at pharmaceutical type thing. So those people being specialists in their area, you probably wouldn't find them in a wide range of advertising as you'd find in fast moving consumer goods. There would be those people that networks could serve a great deal in opening a door for you to know that I could look for my funding in this area, especially if it so happens that is a very specialized area that you're okay. But even in the generic areas, be it development finance institutions, be it banks, it's okay to know there's somebody there that I can go who deals in this particular area of my expertise for which I need funding.
I guess we're saying look at it like your dating life. You know, the people that you're connected with, they, as you said, a warm body introduction. There's nothing quite like that, right?
It touches on that body aspect that you mentioned earlier on.
I'm out of this conversation. I don't know what we're talking about.
No, you're not. I need some referrals.
So networking is imperative, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. As I said, guiding principle.
Yes.
It's important. It can open doors. Some people perhaps may be able to get those funds differently, but it's a way to access those funders. Second, you know, it's important.
Tip two. Yes.
It's important to have your story well crafted, to be able to relate it well.
Mm.
Because it's important when you engage with the entrepreneur to be able to say, this is what I want to do. It displays your grasp of whatever it is that you want to do. You can be able to then share your value proposition. You know, what is it that you're selling to whom? And where are those people and why would they buy from you?
So we're not just talking about a pitch. we're actually talking about something a little bit deeper. So when someone says, oh, wow, that's a great pitch, tell me more, that's what we're talking about
here. And remember, an investor would have probably come across a number of ideas, and that first impression goes a long way towards making sure that maybe there's something here. This guy seems to have a grasp of what I want to do, and I'd like to get a bit more information. You understand that there's a market for it. Is it sustainable? And you've got a grasp and passion for that space that you want to get the funding for.
I think of the conversation that we went and we were a part of, not a conversation, a pitching event that you and I were at, and how there was a very emotional pitch that came through, and she actually won the competition, but it was very emotional and didn't tick a lot some of the boxes that we're talking about here. So it would be interesting to be able to go to her and put it to the test, and that's what you're saying. What you're pitching and what you're doing aligning. Is that right?
Yes, and we've seen a number of shows that get entrepreneurs to pitch. The way you craft a story succinctly with as few minutes that are given to you can make or break.
Absolutely.
You know, that initial introduction that you had to that investor.
Be concise. Concise. Yeah. Yes, sir. Number three?
The three, I've got three that are interrelated.
Yes.
Okay. That talk to the business plan. Okay.
Okay.
The first one, you need to understand the aspects of that business plan, you know, go through it. It's your business plan, all right? Be able to talk through it backwards and forwards, because somebody can just go through and ask you a question in an aspect that you know. And the important thing is that the story there needs to talk to the numbers. Okay. The second bit there, you must have a detailed one. What does a detailed business plan tell you? It goes to the crux of that, the story on the word size and the financials, because from the investor's perspective, there are certain questions that they want to answer.
Yes.
It would be, what is the money needed for?
Yes.
That would yield the amount that can be provided.
Yeah, tell us about your strategy.
So we know what is that money needed for. Maybe you want to buy a stock, you want to acquire certain equipment and that. So you can understand, okay, this is actually needed as opposed to just being wanted in the business. Mm. Second thing would be, is it a short-term or a long-term need? That will determine the term of that facility. Will it be a three-year term? Will it be seven-year, whatever? And in a sense, it got an inherent exit strategy in it. The third one would be, what will you give up for that funding that you require?
What do you mean by that?
Some people have some form of collateral to provide that.
I hear you.
Others would be providing shares in return for the funding that they're getting, depending on how juicy or how exciting that business is and the risk perception that the investor has. And then last point would be the rate of return that can be garnered from that business. Can it afford it? Remember, I mentioned earlier on, it must veer towards being cash flow positive. It must have a dynamic entrepreneur at the center of it, and it must be a fair deal for both parties. So the business plan, a detailed one, sort of covers those elements together. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So I've covered sort of two or three of them there.
Three of them, yes.
Four, actually, because I covered two. One is just understanding the aspects, and then the other one having the detailed business plan at you.
Okay. Number?
Then we're on number six.
Yes. Number six, Baba Morabe.
I'm covering all of them at the same time.
Okay, yes, you're confusing us. Okay, yeah, number six.
All right, it's actually number five, but then just, you know, when we read business plans, the investors tend to read a lot of business plans that are brought their way. Say you have, I'll take business partners for instance. We see about 600 business plans that we approve.
Okay.
To get to approve that, you probably have seen three times more. So the executive summary is very key in getting the gist of what it is. Sometimes if you haven't captured the essence of it in an executive summary, the interest to proceed with reading the further of the business plan might be a bit discouraged.
Now, this is where I come in, and because I'm detail conscious and very detail orientated.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when I try and put a paragraph of three sentences together, it turns into a story of 78 sentences. What are people looking for in the executive summary? But I mean, what are they really looking for? Because you are literally talking about two or three lines to say,
boom, boom, boom,
this
boom.
Is the summary,
yeah.
This is the problem, this is what we're doing to solve the problem, this is how we're doing it, here are the financials. And that, I mean, one page is a good executive summary, but one page is hard to do. What are we actually talking about here?
Well, look, I mean, it varies from business to business. I would say some of the good executive summaries I've seen would take about 2 to 3 pages.
Okay.
Remember, you'd start by writing your detail of the 78 pages before you do the executive summary, because then you summarize the detail that you have there, giving us to know, this is the entrepreneur, this is his experience base, this is the business that he needs funding for, this is the funding amount that he requires to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and he wants to leverage XYZ to get those funds. So remember those questions that I mentioned to you, what the funds are needed for, in a sense could form the essence and structure of your executive summary.
I want to ask one more question on the executive summary, and that is, what is the best first line you've ever read? That one thing that just popped for you and you said, yes, this is great.
That whets your appetite.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, as you said yourself.
And then turned you off for the rest of the business plans that you were reading.
Yeah, that's very difficult to say. I think it would relate, you know, we meet different industries. I think where innovations come to the fore, where people are solving some problem that society has and they've come up with a way of addressing that problem cost affordably and sort of disrupt the market, that has made it exciting. I wouldn't tell you the lines verbatim, but if I've seen that this is the thing that is being addressed. I'll give you an example. Not so long ago, we had a lady who came up to us who is in a township area, but she has come up with an invention to provide security in that environment, cost affordably. In as much as you have the big security companies putting in those sensors in your house, this one of hers is linked with a GSM technology, put in the properties there and linked to some wire that you can pull, and it alerts the neighbors and sends SMS technology to the neighbors as well as the police in her environment.
Wow.
So it's something of mitigating, and if you look at the monthly subscription towards that, is way less than what we are paying in most of the suburban areas.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so it's this type of things where you can succinctly get, this is what this person is solving. In executive summary already says, hey, this person might be onto something. Let's go on further and see how are they actually doing it? How are they going to cater for the manufacturing? Have they thought through all of those things that are required for you to run a successful business?
Now that was five, right? That wasn't actually six. That was five, yes?
It was five. Right?
we have got about maybe 6 or 7 minutes to get through the rest. So let's jump straight into that.
I'm not the fastest guy. But
look, okay, Baba, we're listening.
Then, I mean, I think we've covered the crux of it. Mm. The next bit would be then, once people have read the business plan, they might ask for a follow-up, you know, have a presentation ready. Should we ask to come up on and present to us what it is that you want to solve? Okay. And then thereafter, once you've had that follow-up thingy, make sure, and I think your platform here would be a great example in that we live in days where there's a social media presence. What have you done to showcase that which you've done, your track record, and that the earlier commentator here was talking about your integrity, where you can have just 1 minute to break it all. So that track record, when people check up on you to see, will this person be able to bring this to pass, something on the, even including the product that you're providing, have it on a social media space, internet, you know, have a website of some sort if you can, and other social media things. You're probably better at it than I am. I'm a bit on the older side on those things. And then, you know, staying in touch. Once you have a network, why not follow up? And be keep that relationship warm. Follow up, get some advice if needs be from that person. Say, what's happening? Can I be able to get some information on this and that? At least you keep that relationship warm, because you can. We have many business cards that we acquire when you go to networking session. You put them in the drawer, and that's it. That's the last time you've spoken to that person. So if you can follow up and keep, especially if it's an investor from whom you'd require funds later.
I just want to ask a very quick question there, because often you get people that want to follow up with you, but it actually gets a little painful. So how do you do it in such a way that you're not actually being a pain? Is that a good question, Phoebe?
Yes.
I think it is. Eh? How do you do it so that you're not imposing on that person or those individuals?
Look, I think you're looking for something from the investor. I think you must find something. You can detect in the early conversations that you have whether there is a bit of interest or not. What are the areas that you highlighted? It must relate to that initial encounter that you've had. If you come out of the blue and ask things that are irrelevant, I think you're going to be seen as being one that imposes themselves on that particular investor. And it might break that relationship sooner rather than build it.
Good point.
All right. And then I've covered that, you know, appreciate feedback when it comes from those investors. When people want to know that you are open to ideas. Remember, people do business with those oftentimes that they know, people that they trust, and hopefully that they like. So by being open to ideas, you see, this is a person that I can entrust my funds to. Remember, we're talking before the funds have been transferred from my pocket to yours. Yeah. That relationship is still impartial, but once my funds are out of my pocket, that relationship is totally different. I'll be chasing you to be able to recover those funds from yourself. Engender that trust from that. And then the last one would be, investors, we don't want there to stay there for the long haul. You are the entrepreneur when we're engaging with you. So we would like to be there for a certain period. So the exit strategy must be determined. Make it attractive for us to be able to know that we'd be here, we can get a return of X by year X. So if we have engaged sufficiently to know that, okay, I'm here for 3 years, I'm out, this person doesn't want me to be there forever because they want to take ownership of that business, it makes that the tips that I've given have fine closure in, getting.
That really gives it a lot of context.
You know what, it sounds to me, you know, as somebody very new in this whole entrepreneurial space, that these 10 tips that you've just given us, David Morobe, is that their skills, that their business skills that can be developed and need to be improved time and time again. I don't think you can just let things go and as it's as easy as what people think that they are. You know what I mean? You have to be, have to have conviction with every single one of these 10 points, and has to be improved with every single meeting you have with investors.
Yeah, like I said in the beginning, these are guiding principles. You work at principles. Yes. You make there are modes, there are modes of actions, there are habits that you can develop for yourself to get into the space. In terms of making sure that all the things that entrepreneurs require, you remember, what does an investor look at? We look at the doing skills. Can you do that which you purport to be able to do? We look at your management skills. Are you able to manage this thing and really tend it? Because we've got many people that have got doing schools. If you're from the township, you know mechanics who are bad business people. But you need that relationship between the doing skills and the management skills. And the last bit is that entrepreneurial ability. Most people are not born with this. You can engender them. You can practice them every day like you practice new habits. And these tips can take the same mode where you work towards making sure that, okay, how can I make sure that I work towards getting investors to part with their money, whichever way they are, they've earned it, to be investors in your business. So work on habits that can make sure that you can engender that trust, and obviously, hopefully, that all of that is encapsulated by integrity.
Very, very nice. Final thoughts or questions, Luby?
Nope.
Okay, I've got one very, very quickly then. So often these relationships, and it was mentioned in the first half of the show as well, often these relationships are seen as a David and Goliath. This person is coming to try and take over and buy out and all that kind of thing. Now, it often isn't, well, for the most part, it isn't like that. People like yourself are there to serve and to help and support. That's really the investor relationship that we should be looking for, isn't it? It's not just about the money.
True. I think we want a relationship of trust between the investor and the entrepreneur. So we'll try to garner that over the period of, you know, building this relationship that can be successful. Remember, most entrepreneurs would like to get the money yesterday with as little requirements as is possible. The investor want to make sure that they can mitigate whatever risk perception that they have. So once that trust is being engendered as you build, we are able to say, okay, let's start with X amount for Luby and see how she does this, and then grow the relationship. Hopefully that relationship can grow to the point of having some of these marvelous creations that you've seen all over the world from young entrepreneurs.
Luby, you know what I really like about this conversation is exactly where we've just come to now, that it's about relationships, it's about development. It's not just this one transaction that happens, and often, or too often, I think we look at life or we go through life transacting instead of developing relationships. Thought?
Do you feel more comfortable now that if you wanted to sell a company, you'd be able to do it?
I think that I feel more comfortable being able to sell my company and also then put it forward for investment as well. I think we've had a really good show today.
I think a goal has been achieved.
David, thank you very much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you for having me.
Regional General Manager of Business Partners. And again, Business Partners.
Tell them we say hi.
Yeah, yeah. Good friends of ours. Guys, that's the show for today. Where do they go to get the podcasts? CliffCentral.com. Make sure you send this out everywhere. And we'll be here, same time, same place next week. We've got some really, really good guests, really big conversations lined up, just like this one. See you then.
See you then.
And if I can just get this to work, it will be great.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.